That will show you that godly people are not exempt from tough times. The point in focus is when the tough time comes, we should never, ever, ever despair. You know, none of us are immune to troubles during our lifetime. And I know that there are times when it seems to be so difficult. It seems like trouble has hit us so hard. And often it might look and feel like it is overwhelming. We were never told that once we came to Christ, life is free of trouble. For a matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world you shall have affliction. So it is part of life. I guess in our culture, we've got so spoiled, so messed up, that we are willing to have a life trouble-free. When we are eating on a troubled way, when our sleeping habits are a troubled sleeping habits. Are you with me here?
Yes, sir.
Going through troubles is not the worst thing in life. Did you know that through this difficulty that we have gone through right now? Because when I suffer, my beloved wife suffers too, and vice versa. It has been a wealth of lessons that we are learning. So you're saying that God's making you sick to teach you a lesson? I didn't say that. I never said that. But the difficult came. I see this as an opportunity to slow down and ponder on things that I wouldn't ponder if I wouldn't have slowed down. Especially folks like me, I'm always on the go, 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 go. Everything got to be done yesterday. So now that I had to be slowed down, I can reflect. How could I make life more sweet on my part? And I've been told that in this world I shall have afflictions. But instead of despairing, instead of being miserable, I should be of good cheer.
Amen.
Isn't that what Jesus said?
Yes.
Now, it's in a way a paradox. How could anybody be of good cheer when you're in trouble, when you're in pain? Well, it's a choice. You can choose to be miserable and complain and cry all day long and get worse. Or we can choose to praise God and thank God for the work that God is doing in our lives. So if you ask me, what's the title for today's meditation, preacher? Promises for You When Troubles Hit Hard is the title of this morning's meditation. So what do we do when life hits us hard? Number one, seek refuge in the promises of God. What do you mean? We've been told that we would not be orphans. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. But I've got to go so that the Holy Ghost can come. And when He comes, He shall teach you all things. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. Due to the fact that Jesus had one body, physical body, it limited him to one place. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
No human being could be inflated to the point of filling this whole entire room. Am I correct? None of us can have a compressor plugged in our backs and then start filling in air, and then we would stretch to the point that would take this whole body. I mean, this whole building. It won't happen because we will burst. Why would we burst? Because we are flesh and blood. So we are limited to a certain space. Jesus was somewhat in his flesh body limited to a place. Nevertheless, when the Spirit came, because the Spirit don't have a body, it can fill this whole place. Stay with me here. How many of you know that the word Spirit means wind? You know that? So if we would seal those doors, the winds are already sealed, seal the door on the back, and have a compressor, a 50,000 watts compressor, blowing air inside this building here. Do you know that we could have so many air here that would blow away the windows?
Yes.
Because the air will fill the place. You are with me so far, right?
Yes.
When Pentecost came, there were 120 people gathered in a place like this. And we've told that the Spirit came upon them in tongues of fire. And the Bible say that the Spirit filled the place. And 120 people at one time got full with the Holy Ghost. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Because Jesus wanted you and I individually to experience the power of God, he said, you know what, boys and girls, I'm going to go. And when I go, I'm going to send you somebody to be in my place. And he shall teach you all things. The problem is that the disciple may not have understood that. Jesus' vision passed Jerusalem. Jesus' vision went beyond Samaria. Jesus' vision went all the way to Baltimore City.
Amen.
And when he went up, he left the command. I want you boys to go out, preach the gospel to every creature, till the end of the world. Teach them to observe all this stuff I'm teaching you guys. And I got a promise to you. I will be with you till the end. That means that now in the end of days that you and I are living, we've got the promise that Jesus is with us. And in the person of the Spirit, he can spread throughout of the world, because he's not limited to a compact body. He's the wind of God that will fill the church. So when the hard times comes to us, he says, be of good cheer. How could I be of good cheer in the midst of trouble? Because your God is bigger than the troubles that we may be facing. Because sometimes troubles is the only way that will cause us to take our faces from that stinking TV and move it towards God.
Come on now.
Amen.
And then when we seek refuge in the Word of God, you know what? Let me say this. You are not healed because you lack faith. Get this. Your enemy, the adversary called Satan, that piece of junk, good for nothing, low life, useless piece of garbage, wants you to think, oh, you don't have enough faith. He's lying.
Yeah.
He's lying. To each one of us, a measurement of faith has been given. A measure of faith has been given. You have faith to be healed.
Yes.
What you don't have is a good knowledge and foundation of the Word of God. What do you mean? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Is that right? And hearing by the Word of God. Is that right? So you are hearing the Word of God every week. Are you with me?
Yes.
So if you are hearing the Word of God every week, faith is there. It's already there. And He knows He can take that away. What you may not have is a good knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. And this is why I advocate the idea and I propose to you today that whenever the hard times hit, don't despair. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4, starting on verse 8. It's verse 8 and 9. Read it with me. We are pressed on by... Stop right there. We are pressed on every side by troubles, right? Many times we keep our eyes on the troubles. But he goes on to say, but we are not crushed. So let the trouble press. I'll fight back. And I'm not going to sit as a dog.
Yes.
Are you with me here? It's the wrong perspective. Tomorrow night I'm thinking about speaking vertical perspective. Many of us have a horizontal perspective. This past Sunday I spoke about perspective. And I was asking the Lord, why you meant to talk to Wednesday night? The Lord said, well, talk about vertical perspective. I said, I just spoke about... yes, I will. I'm not going to argue about this. Can I have a taste of what you want me to add to the notes? I don't even know which note is it. It's on your pile, blah, blah, blah. So I go to my pile and there it was. And then I was given right away. When you have a vertical perspective, when you have a vertical sight, what happened? You can see what is... When you have a horizontal perspective, you can see only what is in front of you. Isn't that right? The thing with us, most of us, we always have a horizontal perspective. We are pressed on every side by troubles. But we forget that we're not crushed. Why? When we have the vertical perspective, when you have horizontal perspective, you see what is in front of you. But when you have vertical perspective,
hallelujah,
amen,
you start looking for things from the upper perspective. Did you remember what David said? I lift my eyes to the hill. He didn't say, I look down the street. He said, I lift up my eyes. He was looking to the hills. Is it still up? It's not, you know, horizontal. It's vertical. Where does my help come from? Ha! My help comes from the Lord, making of heaven and earth. So, troubles will come. We will be pressed on every side. But don't give up. Remember that pressures will come, but you're not crushed.
No.
It doesn't matter how tough it is, you are not crushed. And then it says, we are perplexed. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said I have this and that and the other. And so what? You may be perplexed because you never expect to hear such a thing. But you know what? Whatever, doctor, I'm not going to despair with what you're saying because I'm choosing to believe on the report of the Lord.
Yes.
You know, we are hunted down by that piece of garbage, the most useless, good-for-nothing, low-life punk and his demons.
Right.
When you're doing something good for God, he'll make sure that he'll make your life miserable. But guess what? Even if he hunts us down, we are never abandoned by God.
Never.
Never.
Hallelujah.
No matter how tough things may be, God is on your side.
Yes, He is.
You are on the winning side. Whatever it is that's hunting you down, your God is bigger than that. He goes on to say, we might get knocked down, but if we do, get up. You're knocked down, not destroyed. Don't give up. Don't give up. Stand up. Get up. Keep moving. Fight back.
Amen.
I love what Paul said, that he fought the good fight. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Then he said that he finished his course.
Yes.
And he kept his faith.
Amen.
He was knocked down here and there. Yes, he was.
Yes.
But didn't cause him to lose his faith.
That's
he fought back and he finished his career.
Huh? Yes.
And he kept his faith. There is no knocking down that may come our way that will be able to take our faith from us unless we allow the devil to do it. Are you with me here?
Yes. Amen.
So folks, when hardship hits, don't put your eyes on the pressing, on the troubles, on the perplexity, on the despair. No. Put your eyes in God.
Yes.
You maybe ask, I am preaching, it's hard for you to say that. It's easy for you to say that. Yes, it is. Because you and I have to make a decision that we will not allow ourselves to panic, nor to be controlled by any of that stuff. We should not allow ourselves to be miserable. Because in the book of Nahum, Chapter 1, verse 7. May I have the New Living Translation, Brother Harry? Nahum 1, 7. This is what it says. The Lord is good. A strong refuge when trouble comes. So you may be pressed left and right, front and back by troubles. But what do? Sweetheart, come here. Is trouble pressing? Is trouble hitting? All you have to do is run to your God.
Amen.
Trouble you have to beat.
Amen.
The one
hiding.
In whom you're hiding before it can knock you down.
Amen.
It will have to knock down your God before it can knock you down. The Lord is good. He is a strong refuge when trouble comes. And I love that.
Amen.
He is close to those who trust in Him. So instead of paying attention to the reports and to all the trouble, I have made a choice that I'm going to trust God.
Amen.
And in making that choice, that guarantees that He's going to be close to you and I. So this is why it's so pivotal that we take our eyes off the trouble and start trusting God when trouble hits us.
Yes.
Brother Harry, let me see the backslide translation. I'm curious now. I didn't check. God is good. A hiding place. He recognizes and welcomes anyone looking for help. It can't get better than this, huh? Tell your neighbor, whenever troubles hit, tell your neighbor, whenever troubles hit, you know where to go to hide.
Amen.
Folks, in the toughest moments of our lives, desperation, sadness is not an option. If you can't remember no other scripture in the Bible, I want you to remember Isaiah 43, 2 and 3. And I'm going to start with the New Living Translation. You know, if you can't remember nothing else, I want you to remember Isaiah 42, two, and three. And we're going to start with the New Living Translation. Read it with me. He will not shout or raise his voice in public. I'm sorry, it's 43. It's 43, I'm sorry. When you go through deep waters,
I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of pressure, you will not burn out. The flame is not consumed you.
Now let's stop right here. I want you to look to somebody close to you and say, if you can't swim in tough times, you get a lifeguard called Jesus. You ain't gonna sink. When you go through deep waters, no matter how tough that is, you've got a lifeguard right by your side. And his name is God.
Yes.
When you go through rivers of difficulties, how many of you have been in some time or another in your life? Seems like when one difficulty goes away, another one comes, and then this goes away, two more come, and then this goes away, three more comes, and this goes away, five more comes. And then you say, my God, when is this going to stop? When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. You've got a lifeguard. And you know, are you going through oppression right now that is burning you so? It's not going to burn you up. You've got coverage. Now, I love the way that the Backslider translation puts it. Watch this. When you're in and over your head.
I'll be there with you.
You know, many times we go over our own heads. Is that right?
That's right.
I mean, maybe y'all don't do this, but a few times in my life I was in over my head. Even on those moments,
yes.
He says, I'll be there with you. Yes. Lousy, what do I do with you? When you're in rough waters, relax. You will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, reach out to somebody and say, there's no dead end when you're serving God. Listen to verse 3. This is how you keep your healing. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior, I paid a huge price for you. All of Egypt with rich Cush and Seba thrown in. A huge price has been paid for you.
Huge.
By your personal God. Don't let little things take your eyes away from the prize.
Yes.
From your God. You've been bought by price. And it ain't cheap. It was a huge price. The New Living Translation is good too. I like this better, but the New Living Translation says the following. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as a ransom for your freedom and gave Ethiopian Seba in your place.
Amen.
God has ransomed you and I. Don't take your eyes out of your God. You will say, well, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but you know, I wish so much I didn't have to go through all this. That's not a smart statement. Brother Harry, I want you to look for me for 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, and I want to start on the Backslider translation. I have a question for you. How many of you here have lately said to the Lord that you want to look more like Jesus? Mm. Has anybody made that request?
Yes.
How many of you want to have more of God? Yes. Have you prayed that prayer?
Yes.
All right. The question is, you didn't realize that a price had to be paid to get there. Did you realize that before Jesus could have a celestial body, the earthly body has to die?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you realize that?
I realized.
Did you realize that to have the joy to add you to the family, he had to go through the pain of Calvary Cross?
That's right.
Troubles will come. Troubles will come. And it has one purpose only. 2 Corinthians 4:17. May I have 2 Corinthians 4:17? Read it with me. These hard times are small potatoes comparing to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. The hard time you're going on right now, they're small potatoes. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Well, this is not so holy. I see that you can't get that. So may I have the New Living Translation, brother? For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them.
Thank you, Jesus.
So what you're saying, preacher, I still don't get it. All right. May I have that New King James, just to make it easy. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. The difficulties, the troubles, the hard time that comes upon us comes to produce in us the results of those prayers that we made when we said that we want to get closer to God. The light affliction will come and purge us from the junk that is preventing us to look like God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Marsh and I were praying. I don't like to feel bad. I am not sick, but I felt miserable. Mm-hmm. You know, when something is not right, you quite don't know what it is, but you know something ain't right here.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And we start praying and praying and praying. I said, you know what, let me go down south and do some full checkup because it's cheaper. If I would have done all the exams that I did down south, here in the United States, everything would have cost me $20,000. People without insurance. Like, I just called a cardiologist here yesterday. I called like 10 or 12 offices. You can get cheap people, but cheap cardiologists are the kids that just came out of school.
That's right.
I want to have somebody that has been on the business for some 20 years, that have an idea what they're doing. Yeah. I mean, nothing against the new guys, but I think that new guys should be working under somebody for some 5 years until they get used to it. After all, this is my heart, dude. And if you miss it, I'm dead. You know what I mean, right? So the best cardio in Baltimore and surrounding areas, if I want to see him as a private consultation without insurance, will cost me $1,200. I said, I asked the receptionist, you mean that include all the exams? I said, no, sir. It's just to see him. And I'm saying, did you say $1,200? Dollars She said, yes. And how soon can he see me? Can he see me today? Oh, no. The next open is in August. But we have another doctor here. He's better. He's 800. He can see you next week. I said, thank you much. I hung up. So I called about 12 and I found one of them that is $95. So I immediately Google, there's a site that you can go that will give you the history of the physician. Where he or she graduated, how long ago, where did he work. The one that cost $95 graduated a year ago from University of Maryland Medical School. Said, no. No. And you are already practicing by yourself? No. No. So I did call and I scheduled an appointment for tomorrow just to make sure that we will follow up on this thing, make sure that everything's okay. But I'm saying all this to say that the light affliction that I'm going through right now is to produce a eternal weight of glory. Now, I don't think you have ever heard a sermon on the weight of glory, did you? Has anybody here heard on the weight of glory, ever? Glory has a weight, and I'm not going to preach about that. But just to give you an idea. When Peter was with Jesus, before Jesus had been crucified, they were all over the place, right? And if you remember, Jesus came to a fig tree. There was no fig. He cursed the tree. And Peter is looking. And I wondered, wow, he's cursing the tree. It's not supposed to have fruits in here. And they went down the street. 2 days later, when they come back, Peter is still muzzling that stuff. And on the way back, he looked at the tree. Say, Lord. Yes, Peter. Look at this. What? The tree that you cursed, it withered completely. This is Peter. Later down the street, Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. Not me. The time has come that the Son of Man has to go all through this and be crucified. Peter jumped, oh no, Lord, stop talking about yourself about like this. Jesus looked at him, behind me, Satan. You have no part of my business. And Peter, watch out. I've asked God. The devil is kind of shaking you around, and I have asked God to have mercy on you. Ouch. Then a little bit down the road, well, some of you will desert. All of you are going to run away, leave me alone. Peter said, not me. I'll die with you. Peter, shut up. I'll tell you that before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Not me. Yes, you. And lo and behold, that was Peter, right? When the glory came on the upper room, and you know what? We were in the upper room. It's awesome.
Yes, it is.
It's awesome. People got filled with the Holy Ghost when we were in the upper room in Israel. Now, still there, the anointing. The glory came in. 120 people were filled. But when they were called drunkards or drunkards, who was the one who stood up?
Peter.
Did he have more glory than the others? Maybe a little bit. What makes you think? Because Peter was the only disciple that people could walk in his shadow and be healed just like Jesus.
Amen.
You're with me so far, right?
Yes.
When you and I ask to be like Jesus, the weight of glory has to increase so that people will be able to walk on your shadow and get healed like Peter was. like happened with Peter. And the only way to get that glory coming upon us is going through this light affliction.
Amen.
I don't think you got this. So if the light affliction is coming, we will not complain. We will not try to run away from it, because you're going to be burned time and over again until you pass through the fire and understand that He is with you. Until you go through the hard waters and understand that you're not going to sink. Until you get crushed, beaten down, knocked out, but you will not despair, because those things together is producing you that exceeding glory that we need to have people healed to live a victorious life. Whenever the difficult comes, we're going to rejoice in the God of our salvation. You know, I have not achieved. I showed this on Sunday morning. I don't think that I have achieved. But I already got the first indication, the first sign that the glory is coming upon my life. It hurts. I felt miserable. And countless nights, the pain is so hard that I could barely take it. And yet they can't find nothing wrong with me. I lift my hands to heaven. And I thank you, my God, for this light affliction. Because glory is on the way. Coming from the trip, straight through the airport, drop things on, and then we come here. As soon as I walk in, the Lord said, go pray for that man on the wheelchair. Command him to walk. And those of you who were here saw that man standing up and walking. And the rest of the conference, he walked every single night. He walked back home. And he walked back to London. Because the glory of God, not the preacher, was present in the life of the preacher.
Yes, yes.
And then as a bonus, as an icing on the top of the cake, Sister Melissa bought a friend. Is that right?
Yes, my neighbor.
Her neighbor that had her arteries clogged. And when I raised this, trying to raise this man up, just my shadow hit that woman. And all the arteries are unclogged. Without even being prayed for. When hard times hit, we're going to praise God. When hard times hit, we're going to seek refuge in the scriptures. When the hard times hit, we're going to speak the word as loud as we can. And let that piece of garbage understand that we know our grounds. We know who we are. And may God grant you the grace and the boldness to stand on the word and not bow down to difficulties. God bless you.